Welcome back to 32 Fans in 32 Days. I'm Alex Chester, as usual, with my co-host Akiva. Akiva, how was your weekend?
My weekend was good. Your intros are very enthusiastic. Maybe we should really practice these beforehand.
Well, I'm enthusiastic. We're moving all the way up our rankings. We're up to the 13th ranked Houston Texans. Although I have to point out, the Texans are at 13, but we have a big, big tier break between 12 and 13. You know, what we did to get these rankings is you ranked the teams 1 to 32, I ranked the teams 1 to 32, and then we averaged them. And there are 12 teams whose average ranking is 11 or better. And then there's a big drop. Houston is next with an average of 15 ranking because I ranked them 14th and you ranked them 16th. But because all those middle teams are all bunched together, Houston, the Giants, Kansas City, St. Louis, Minnesota, Carolina, Detroit, they're all, you know, within 2 points of each other, and Miami, they're all so close to each other that the difference between 12 and 13 is bigger than the difference between 13 and 20, which I think makes sense because, you know, the Texans are a team that is really good, but their quarterback is so bad. And so with J.J. Watt, you're almost guaranteed to go 8-8 or 9-7, but much more than that might be tough.
No, well, they're one of the strangest. I mean, I guess we should maybe get into this with the guests, but just they're one of the strangest teams you'll see just because they're, you know, in a quarterback-driven league, they're like dominated by a single defensive player. I don't know if we've seen that in 30 years, if ever, in the league. So
yeah, but there's a lot of teams who are good, but for the quarterback this year. Obviously you have the Bills.
Yeah, but they're not even good, but for the quarterback without J.J. Watt, I don't think.
Who, Houston?
Yeah, I mean, I guess let's get into this with the guests.
Yeah, we'll bring our guests on in a minute. You know, you also have the Rams who, you know, have a good defense, but have a terrible quarterback.
Right, but the Rams aren't reliant on one, immortal player.
Yeah, well, because you don't have that many immortal players. But all right, so maybe it's time if we're talking about immortality.
How many immortal players are there? what's your immortality rankings?
Yeah, so do we mean literally can't die? How literally are we taking this, I guess, is the question. You're watching Hard Knocks, I assume, right?
Yeah, I am, but I would say I give it a 1.5 stars out of 5. That's the review 5 stars, not the Ebert 4 stars.
Well, I think
they've done it so many times, there's just no new angles for them to. It's like painting by the numbers a little bit. Bill O'Brien isn't especially exciting.
But
they don't have a weird GM. Actually, Bill O'Brien has probably been the star so far. He's not so bad.
He started his first episode though by saying the Houston Texans is the most boring franchise. Nobody in the NFL knows about us. Nobody talks about us. And it's like, hey, guys, you're trying to get people to watch this on HBO.
Right, plus you're on Hard Knocks. They would sooner cancel it before they had the Jaguars on Hard Knocks. Let's not go so crazy.
But you know there's the whole issue about how teams have been refusing to do it to the NFL.
Yeah, but they haven't had to force anybody yet.
Well, but they made the formula where, basically
right,
teams
but I think
sort of
every
encouraged.
Team would have to turn them down first, and so it doesn't really work. Because there's pathetic teams that would always say yes if asked.
Would you want your team to be on Hard Knocks?
Yeah, well, I'm a Jets fan, so I had no problem with that. You know, it was great. You get to know the players really well in the NFL, and you really don't get to know them. Like, I don't follow anyone on the Jets on Twitter, not a single guy. So you get to see, little glimpses. You know, you get to, learn more about Antonio Cromartie's kids, stuff like that. I enjoyed that.
All right. Well, let's bring it back to the Texans and let's bring our guest on. Here to talk about the 13th ranked Houston Texans today, we have Yoni Pollack, the editor of House of Houston. Yoni, how are you doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm great. So what do you think about that 13th ranking for the Houston Texans?
It's pretty much fair. It's that one spot right outside the playoffs where last year they finished 9-7. Again, one spot outside the playoffs. And it really just comes down to a lack of a quarterback, which for now 2 years, it seems like they've ignored for some strange reason.
Well, so let's start right at top at the quarterback then. Akiva and I were saying that we have been watching Hard Knocks, and so we've seen all about your enticing quarterback battle between Brian Hoyer and Ryan Mallett, and it looks right now like Hoyer has the job. How do you feel about that?
Hoyer is one of the quarterbacks I probably hate the most in the league. Last year, the Texans came in with Fitzpatrick, and he's about average at best at quarterback, and they traded for Mallett right, I think, at the end of the preseason. Right away, I'm like, I'd rather see Mallett at quarterback. I know Fitzpatrick can only lead this team to somewhat around an 8-8 record. Mallett could lead your team to the playoffs, but he could also bust. And I'll take a bust because that means you're going to the top of the draft and you can find a quarterback next year. But they went with Fitzpatrick until, again, they went to the bye week 4-5, obviously, because that's all Fitzpatrick could do. And went to Mallett. Mallett played well, but then he got hurt. Then they went back to Fitzpatrick. He decided to break his leg. Then they went to Savage. Then they brought back Case Keenum, who all Texans fans love, and finished at 9-7 outside the playoffs. And then this offseason, they come in And apparently Brian Hoyer was the top of the list at quarterback who they wanted. Bill O'Brien obviously coming from New England, so he's very familiar with Hoyer and obviously Mallett. And from that day when they signed Hoyer, and I, all Texans fans knew like that was the guy that O'Brien wanted to start. And they claimed it was some sort of competition. But, I mean, obviously we're not in the at every practice. We're not at OTAs. We're not at minicamps where we know who looks better and whatnot. But, I mean, Hoyer certainly didn't win the job this offseason. He didn't win the job in the preseason. Granted, neither did Mallett. But you're looking at Hoyer now starting. They announced it just this past week, and I'm not excited. I mean, Fitzpatrick is better than Hoyer. You look at the numbers last year, and obviously Hoyer played for Cleveland.
I'm getting excited about all this Fitzpatrick is mediocre talk. Is it?
No, I mean, that's a whole different thing with Fitzpatrick and Geno there. But I mean, I think Fitzpatrick's just better than Hoyer. His numbers with the Texans actually last year were pretty, I mean, they were solid. They weren't, they're not, again, he's not leading you to any victories, but he's really not going to lose you many games that you should be winning. But,
Let me ask you another question. You know, you mentioned how O'Brien has familiarity with these guys from the Patriots. And one thing I've noticed on Hard Knocks is Bill O'Brien is all in with guys from the Pats, both players, both coaches. And the Bill Belichick coaching tree has not had a lot of success yet. So, are you nervous about that? Because it doesn't just seem, it seems like, you know, you can't just translate that New England success somewhere else. And Bill O'Brien's bringing in all these Patriots.
Yeah, contracts. I mean, like you said, there's no one that's proven success. I mean, a lot of Texans fans are excited about O'Brien, and I guess coming after Kubiak's mediocrity coaching for the last several years, I don't really blame them. You know, you hear a guy coming from New England, great, like Belichick. We have a new Belichick, but it's just like everyone thinks he grooms QB so well, and that's the talk. And his first year, what does he do? He brings in Fitzpatrick. Granted, I mean, the Texans haven't been in a position to really bring in a quarterback. They used their number one pick to get Clowney, and you know, that was a draft where they could have maybe reached for Bortles. They could have traded up to get Bridgewater from, you know, they picked in the first pick in the second round, and Bridgewater went in the last pick of the first round, and Bridgewater's looking pretty good right now. So a lot of people still trust O'Brien to make the right quarterback decision. I don't know where that's coming from, because you know, all I've seen is a 9-7 team last year that could have made the playoffs if they had a half decent quarterback. So I don't trust them fully yet, but apparently Texans fans do. So I guess we'll see what happens this year.
And then, of course, at running back, Arian Foster, who's one of the better running backs in the league, but he's always injured and he's out for. I actually heard today that he might be coming back as soon as the end of September, which is better than when they thought they'd have to put him on the PUP list. So maybe before we get to receivers, do you have an injury update on
Yeah, I mean, there are several reports coming out of Houston that he could be back anywhere between week 2 and week 4, let's say. But obviously, that's probably not. He's not going to be at 100%. They're probably going to ease him in at that point. But the Texans, the offense runs through Arian Foster. So, you know, if they're running out Alfred Brew week 1, I mean, he's not winning you any football games. And so it'll be interesting actually to see how, like, week 1 and week 2, if Foster's not back, how the offense runs. Are they going to throw more than they're used to? But, you know, the Texans have always liked to pound the ball, and that's continued with O'Brien. And, I mean, they need Arian Foster back to have any success this season. So if he's back anywhere between week 2 and week 4, that's a huge win for the Texans.
Okay, so let me ask you then about some of the targets for whoever that quarterback is, assuming it's Hoyer, or if it down the line, if it's Mallett to work with. Obviously, you lost Andre Johnson, probably the greatest Texan in franchise history. And you have DeAndre Hopkins, who looks like, you know, a star in the making at receiver. And then you brought in a lot of retreads. Cecil Shorts, who, you know, has shown flashes in Jacksonville, but Nate Washington, who's getting up there in age, Jalen Strong, who at least on Hard Knocks has looked pretty good. Who's going to step up on the other side of Hopkins as another target for whoever the quarterback is?
Right, so, I mean, Hopkins, as you said, he looks like a star in the making. The guy is, you know, again, like kind of O'Brien said at the beginning of Hard Knocks, no one really watches the Texans because they're just – no one gives them respect. So if anyone has actually watched the Texans, Hopkins is one of the better one-on-one receivers. He could just go up there and grab almost any ball. So you have Hopkins, who's great, but then they brought in Cecil Shorts, who interesting. He could work, you know, he could work in the flats basically, and screenplays and slants. Nate Washington can maybe somewhat spread, you know, run some go routes and whatnot. Jalen Strong looks like, you know, he's been promising, but he's going to need some work. And I don't expect them to bring him in, you know, right away and get him some playing time. He's going to have to work his way there. But the offensive receivers, they're not the sexiest names. They're not going to win you Super Bowls. But again, kind of like what we mentioned, New England, they never really had those big names at receiver. Obviously, they brought in Randy Moss once, but otherwise they've had, what, Troy Brown, Deion Branch. Not the best receivers, good receivers, but not the best ones.
Yeah, but,
right, exactly.
But Tom Brady,
so that's
slightly
that's the problem. I mean, you had Tom Brady, we have Brian Hoyer. You know, now they have Gronkowski, we have Garrett Graham and CJ Fedorowicz and Ryan Griffin, who aren't the best, but you know, they're all somewhat capable. So we'll see what happens. I don't expect Hoyer to be throwing 40-yard passes to Hopkins. I think we'll see a lot of 7-yard, 8-yard routes. But hopefully they're not happening on 3rd and 10 where we're going to have to punt, which we've seen a lot of with Kubiak in the past.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of a scary proposition, you know, in a passing league that you're running your offense through a running back who's going to turn 30 soon. You know, even if he's 100% healthy at some point early in the season, like all these guys, the running backs, that is, go fast. You know, like
yeah,
one year they have
Foster,
it a lot of times,
I mean,
and the next year they don't. So it's, you know, it's going to happen soon for him, I would think.
Yeah, and I think last year maybe a back injury and also like a hammy injury. The guy seems to have something every year. Hopefully this early season injury will be the only one we see, but you know, the guy turns 30, and in the NFL, anyone that starts to hit that 30 mark, the graph kind of just points downwards. And that's something that the Texans, you know, they're hoping they could get one more year out of Foster, because I think his contract is coming up. We're at the point where they could kind of release him and not have to deal with any sort of cap hit. But Alfred Blue looks somewhat promising, but I'm not holding my head up high there. Chris Polk's decent. Jonathan Grimes decent. They hope Kenny Hilliard could do something. A bunch of names at this point. I'm of the belief where you could kind of find a running back anywhere, kind of like how they did with Foster as an undrafted guy. But it's not looking so promising if Foster ends up hurt, which is something that Texans fans have to brace for. Again, if he ends up, quote unquote, 100% healthy after week 2, 3, or 4.
Yeah, it's worth saying also Foster, again, because he was so lightly regarded, didn't really have a rookie season. And he's injured. He's been injured so much that he doesn't have a ton of miles on him.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Truthfully. So it is in theory possible. He's got a few more years of, you know, the similar production.
Well, but similar production means missing games every year, so.
Right. It's like a blessing and a curse, but you can get 13 games of, you know, 4.8 yards a carry. You'll take it.
Even with the problems they had with Foster being banged up last year, with the quarterback situation, they had the 17th ranked offense, and they scored the 14th most points. And again, we said they went 9-7, and their point differential was plus 65. So really, they were more like a 10-6 team. So they were essentially a playoff team. You almost, if you could get a repeat of what you got a quarterback last year from Fitzpatrick, from Ryan Mallett and company, it seems like, you know, this still is a playoff team, but a lot of that hinges on the defense being really good. And of course, JJ Watt being otherworldly. So should we turn to the defense, or Akiva, do you want to play your name game first?
Oh, obviously. America's demanding that we play the name game.
All right. So why don't you tell Yoni what he's in for?
Okay. So we like to play, really, I believe we call this the roster game.
Oh,
and,
sorry.
I'm just going to fire off. You're going to pick a number. It's not going to be a jersey number. It's just going to be a random number from 0 to 100. And I'm going to give you an arbitrarily assigned Texans player. And you're going to give us a couple sentences
about
82 that player. Okay. Cecil Short.
He's not your prototypical number two receiver. I kind of like him more in the slot. I think he could do more things there. But he's somewhat shifty. He's got some speed in I think it was the first preseason game, or maybe one where Hoyer threw a quick slant to him across the field. And he took off and went with it the distance. So, there's some sort of excitement when you could get Cecil Shorts the ball, but we have to get Cecil Shorts the ball. That could be the bigger problem.
Right. Another number.
Let's go 33. Cody White. I think we're going, that's offensive line there. I wonder if we'll make the roster at this point. I mean, that's pretty much it.
All right, one more.
Okay, why don't we go 99?
Okay, 99. Who's Jace
no,
Davis?
I'm just... Jace Davis. Are we talking receiver there? I'm just making sure I know my training camp guys.
Yes, receiver. Do you have two Jace Davises on the Texans? Because I'd like to hear about that. Yes. Listen, when we did it, I started this with Chester and the Vikings, and the first guy he got, I believe, was the backup long snapper who was like,
I went on a rant, but why would I need to know the backup long snapper? Our long snapper has been here for 11 years. Yeah, you know, he's an institution in Minnesota. He's, you know, and then the next day they cut him, and the backup who I never heard of is now our long snapper. So.
And since, you know, this is a little bit unusual that they're on Hard Knocks.
About maybe kind of showing some things that you don't want other teams to see. But honestly, I've enjoyed the heck out of the series. I've never actually watched it from another team. This is my first time watching it. I think they do a really good job. And I was actually telling one of my friends the other day, I really kind of wish, it doesn't have to be HBO, but I kind of wish the NFL or maybe even just teams on their own kind of ran something similar to Hard Knocks where fans could just get an inside look of what these players do. I thought it was really cool, kind of just seeing how players interact in the locker room, what coaches say in the huddle. Obviously, you could censor some things and whatnot, but I'm really enjoying Hard Knocks from a Texans fan standpoint. I'm not sure how other fans kind of see it, if it's just kind of boring, if it's just, you know, whatever to them, but I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, I mean, it is a lot of fun when it's your team, because you're like, oh, I've, you know, heard about this guy for 7 years, but he's like, you know, the fifth linebacker on the team, so I've never even heard him speak. And you're like, you're meeting his wife or something, and it's actually very interesting. In terms of every team doing it, it's a good idea, I think, in theory, but it's you know, if you, like, think about the production, HBO must have, like, 50 cameramen there. It's got to be incredibly expensive. And there's editor. I knew someone who, like, logged for them when they were, like, right out of college. And, you know, they have, like, 50 people who are probably just being paid to, like, log every minute of it. Like any reality show, you know, just write what happened here and, you know, flag it if it's interesting. So, there's hundreds of people in the production. So it's probably super
expensive. I've watched, I think there were two that came out so far.
Have you guys been watching Soft Knocks on CBS in Houston?
What's this?
So Ben Jones, the offensive lineman for Houston, they have this thing called Soft Knocks. It's like they're asking these lightheaded questions. It's, you know, like to sort of counteract Hard Knocks. And Ben Jones seems like a really entertaining guy. He was asked, do dump or marry, I guess is a nicer way of saying it. And, he was the only guy, I think, who they interviewed who actually was willing to make some picks. He talked about drinking his own urine, if I'm not mistaken. There's a lot of gold that is falling through the cracks of Hard Knocks, and so Soft Knocks is there to pick it up.
I didn't even know it existed. Wow.
There you go. All right, so on that note, let's jump to the defense. And I think right up front on the defense, it's similar to the offense in that you were saying that a lot is going to hinge on the health of Arian Foster. On the defensive line, of course, you have J.J. Watt, who's all world, but they also added Jadeveon Clowney, who was supposed to be sort of, you know, pairing with Watt, make that defensive line basically just unbearable for any opposing quarterback. And Clowney obviously missed last year.
It looks like he's going to hit week one, but probably not at the, you know, he's where he's playing 90 or a full set of snaps on defense. The Texans do have, Whitney Mercilus on the other side, and, you know, they hope they have a, you know, between John Simon, Courtney Brown, who you might have seen on Hard Knocks, also make a few plays with the interception, touchdown, and a few sacks against the Niners in the preseason. But Clowney's the guy they want, because you have J.J. Watt, who pretty much commands two or even three guys at times every day. They added Vince Wilfork also, who's going to command one or two guys just up the middle. So then Jadeveon Clowney should theoretically have one-on-ones almost every snap, and that's a guy that you draft him one overall. You're expecting him to beat any guy at any time. And that's what they're working to do. You know, he's pretty much in college. He kind of got away with a lot of just simply being the biggest guy on the field, where he could just outrun, out muscle out anything, any lineman. In the NFL, it's different. And that's what he's going to be learning. Last year, he was pretty much banged up all year after, I think it was the second quarter of the first game. So it's hard to judge him based on that. But these surgeries, these microfracture surgeries, are known to when someone like Jadeveon Clowney pretty much relies on athleticism, and microfracture surgery could easily hinder that ability these days. So it'll be very interesting to see if that athleticism is anywhere near his college day levels. And if it is, Texans fans have to be excited.
So I like to go through a deep dive of the roster when we're, preparing to talk to any fan. And you actually seem very rational and not, you know, a lot of times I don't know why, but sometimes we'll come on, I'll expect the guy to be like, you know, super biased about his team and like, yeah, the Texans are going to win the Super Bowl. You know, Brian Hoyer is probably going to be, you know, second team all pro, but you seem pretty rational. So really looking at the roster, and again, you know these players much better than I do, and I'm, you know, using a lot of watching a few games of them, seeing what people say, you know, reading their Pro Football Focus grade, stuff like that. In terms of overall depth past your, you know, top heavy players, which is, J.J. Watt and, I guess, who would you consider in that tier on your team? Jonathan Joseph, probably.
Yeah, Dwayne Brown, maybe Derek Newton, but yeah.
Foster, DeAndre Hopkins, maybe Kareem Jackson, the left tackle. After that, it's very bare, it seems to me. Like, good or above players on your team, only 9. That's one of the lowest, if not the lowest, in the whole league. Maybe the Jaguars have less. You know, part of it is injuries. You know, you could get a guy like Clowney who could obviously become elite and has no grade right now. But do you see the team that way? And obviously, a couple of these guys, Will Fork is on that list, but who knows how long he's going to be around for. Like, do you see, like, the core of the roster from we like to talk about, like, 2 to 53, meaning everyone other than the quarterback. But for you guys, it's 2 to 53, everybody other than Watt.
I think Jared Krick is an interesting name, only really because, he lines up opposite Watt. So that's a guy that, again, also should have one-on-ones. And he was a potential first-round pick coming out of college, but then I believe he had an injury, so he fell to the fourth. He's a guy that could be in line for a huge year, and people are expecting things. We didn't really mention much about Brian Cushing, but everyone says, all reports are, you know, every year you have that guy that was supposed to be really good, kind of got injured, and they're saying, oh, he's 100% healthy. And, you know, even he admitted to the media that he was lying a lot. But this year, I mean, you could see in preseason, he's running all over the place. Looks like the Brian Cushing of old, which would be huge for the Texans if they could get that inside linebacker.
A lot of Cushing's wife on Hard Knocks also.
Yeah, and a lot of puking lately. Secondary is where you don't hear many names outside of Jonathan Joseph and Kareem Jackson, but a lot of guys. Kevin Johnson looks like he could be one of the better cornerbacks in the league soon. They're excited about A.J. Bouye, who's like the fourth corner. Raheem Moore, who they signed from Denver, has some issues in the run, but that guy has, you know, ball skills, except when you're throwing a deep ball to Jacoby Jones in the playoffs. But otherwise, he's got strong safety.
Soon.
Yeah, he's got some ball skills. T.D. Brown from the Giants, who be serviceable. Quinton Demps, who they just re-signed, made some plays in the preseason. So I'm a bit more higher on those guys. Mike Muhammad is a name at inside linebacker also, who you may hear soon, that can make plays that Bill O'Brien really loves. So I think I would say they're probably league average in terms of their average guys. That may be me being a little more higher than other people, which is fair, but I'm actually kind of excited about a lot of these players. I think there's some potential with them.
The pro Texans thing that you could really, you know, the case you would make is like, you know, you're a fan of Team X, the Chargers, let's say. You have the Texans the next week. You're not happy about it. You're not like, oh, great, the Texans have a crappy quarterback. You're like, oh, my God, like, you know, hopefully we could block Watt like half the time.
Yeah.
Feel like, and you guys have that going for you for sure.
Look, you can't not be a fan of J.J. Watt, and he's very entertaining on and off the field. But there's a little bit of a phoniness there that kind of annoys me. Like he was really hating on poor Zach Mettenberger last year for the selfie. But JJ Watt's a guy who does all this kinds of stuff on social media, and then he pretends not to. Like he pretends not to know what Bay means. He pretends he lives in a rustic cabin in Wisconsin when in reality we saw it, and it's like a fancy, beautiful house that just happens to have, you know, wood on the outside. You know, JJ, you're the best player in the world right now. You don't have to front.
All right, so let's get to the schedule. Chester, you want to lead it off?
Yeah, let's move to the schedule now that I got that off my chest. And hopefully he doesn't actually hear it, because he could probably destroy me just by blinking.
By the way, Madison Avenue, pushing JJ Watt as the biggest star in the league. Fifth Avenue, or wherever the NFL office is nowadays, not pushing the Texans, and J.J. Watt is a big star, looking at the schedule.
Well, it's just hard. It's hard, you know, for a defensive player. The fact that he was an MVP candidate last year shows how insanely good he was, because for any defensive player to get the MVP is rare, and for a guy to do it on a 9-7 team who doesn't get national attention is even more incredible. But this schedule, you know, you said they don't have a lot. They only have two primetime games. So people aren't going to see a lot of them this year on TV, but the benefit for the Texans is I think it's a really easy schedule. They get, you know, first of all, they have possibly the two worst teams in football. Then they get to play four games against them. They also get to play the worst division in football. They get four games against the NFC South. So let's go through the schedule and let's see if Yoni sees it as another 8-8, 9-7 season, or maybe more, or maybe less. Week one, you start at home against Kansas City.
Right. And so Kansas City is kind of a interesting team. They're kind of, I mean, I kind of look at them similar to the Texans in just in terms of what, you know, what they could do this year. But, you know, they added Jeremy Maclin. They've got a pretty good defense also. In theory, that's, you know, that's almost a game that could pretty much determine your season pretty early, because that's a team that those are those middle of the pack teams that you should be able to beat if you're going to be in the playoffs. I'd like to think they're going to win that game. I could see it honestly going either way. Again, a lot of it has to do with Brian Hoyer and how the Texans, because the Texans offenses look pretty terrible the first 2 weeks in the preseason. You can't really take much from that, but it's something. So it's very interesting. They'll be at home, so I suppose, I don't know, I haven't seen the line, but I would guess they're favorites. So, but I'd take them to win, I guess, week one.
Okay, and then week two on the road at Carolina.
Week two at Carolina, without Kelvin Benjamin, Carolina, again, they also have a pretty solid defense, but there's not, you know, you mentioned that when teams kind of look at the Texans on their schedule, they're worried about J.J. Watt. I look at Carolina, I'm not really worried about anyone. Cam Newton's a pretty good quarterback, but, you know, I trust my defense. It's funny because this year a lot of fans will watch, you know, if they're busy or whatever, they'll watch their team on offense, but they won't look at defense. I'm probably, if anything, more likely to watch on defense and kind of just mute, shut the TV, go look at something else while the Texans are on offense. So with the Panthers.
Wait, if somebody's not watching their team, are you talking about preseason? Because if somebody's not watching their team on one side of the ball, that's not really a fan.
No, I agree.
Of the team.
But
that's like,
oh, shots.
No,
fired.
I agree. But I think, but I know people that actually just do
in your
that.
Hypothetical, yeah, you're yeah, saying yeah. You'd rather watch them on
yeah,
defense.
Yeah, because you know an offense is great, a 3-and-out here, and a-
so yeah, I see what Yoni's saying. All right, so now you have them at 2-0, and the schedule gets probably even easier at home against in Tampa Bay.
Right, Tampa Bay. I mean, you would think it's kind of a walk through there. It's weird because, like, you know, I could say in theory that they're going to win these games, but let's say of the, you know, the 6, 7, 8 easy games on the schedule, they're probably going to lose, you know, 2 or 3 of them. It's just a matter of which ones. I mean, Tampa's, again, a team they should beat. Why not, you know?
All right, so 3-0, and now you're on the road to face Atlanta.
So that's one of them. You know, they could win, they should win, but, you know, I'll put them there on the road. You know, I'll give them a loss there just because Matt Ryan, Julio Jones. I mean, Jonathan Joseph, I think, is more of a name at this point of his career than he is a shutdown corner. I think Kareem Jackson is the best corner on the team. But Julio Jones is, you know, if not the best receiver in the league, one of the top 3-4. So that's, you know, whoever we put there, Julio is probably going to beat them. And Matt Ryan's a good quarterback. I think he kind of gets thrown, not under the bus necessarily, but he's kind of just Matt Ryan to people these days. He's a good quarterback, though. So, you know, again, I can see the Texans winning, but for the sake of this, let's put them as a loss here.
So now you're 3-1, and they also might be looking ahead on the schedule because they have a short week, and then Thursday night they play probably their biggest rivals right now, Indianapolis at home against Andrew Luck and the Colts.
Yeah, that'll be just an interesting thing because Texans, again, their best place is on defense, and the Colts are on offense, so something's got to give there. I'd like that. That's a game that, you know, if they win that, huge for their season. But at home Thursday night, short week, let's give them a loss there.
All right. So now they drop to 3-2. And let me ask, you know, the Colts are your biggest rivals now, I assume. And it's a franchise without a long history. So over the last 10, 12 years, do you consider the Colts your biggest rival or who has it been?
Yeah, I'd say so. The Colts are always the team. I don't think we've actually beaten them on the road yet. Peyton Manning's obviously been there.
Ever?
Yeah, I believe they've never beaten them on the road yet. If wow. not, maybe they did.
What about is Dallas a bigger rival than Indianapolis in general, or no, because you don't play them enough?
No, that's such a made-up rivalry to me. Obviously, when we play Dallas, we want to beat them, but, I mean, you're playing Indianapolis twice a year, and you're playing Dallas once every 4 years. It's just not possible to be bigger, you know?
Yeah, I mean, as a Jets fan, like, a lot of the Jets fans hate the Giants more, but, you know, we're sharing a stadium. It's a little different.
Let me ask you a question, actually. You know, as I said, Houston only, you're about 30 years old or so, Yoni, is that right?
I am 23.
Oh my goodness. Holy cow.
These guests are so young. So young.
You have your whole
say,
life ahead of you. What are you wasting time with us right now?
Yeah, I was going to say, so most of your life you haven't had the Texans, but I guess most of your life you have. But I guess it changes the calculation quite a bit because I was going to ask you, you know,
do you even remember a time when there were no Texans, Yoni?
So I remember a time. I don't remember the Oilers, but I remember a time where
you don't
no
remember the
Houston.
Oilers. Oh man!
So are you not a Warren Moon fan?
I've never seen Warren Moon play. So, like, to me, he's kind of just a very
well. But
well,
you
known,
saw him on, you saw him on the Vikings and see. Oh, but maybe wow, 23. You're really young. All right. So I was going to ask you. You're the editor of House of Houston, so you cover all the Houston teams.
Right.
And but I guess I'm asking both as a fan and as somebody who follows the teams. How would you rank your teams? And my question was going to be because I was going to assume that you've had the Rockets and you've had the Astros your whole life, and then the Texans sort of come into the picture in the middle. I guess that's less true for you, but how would you rank your teams in terms of, you know, your rooting interests and where they lie in your heart?
Yeah, I get asked this question so many times, and it's hard. I think the Astros are my number one, and then I put Texans at 2 and Rockets at 3. I mean, I love them all, but like even like a lot of people, baseball's kind of, at least to many, seems to be a dying sport, but I, you know, I could sit down and watch an Astros game, you know, any day of the week and sit through it and watch it all.
But could you sit down and watch a Twins-Royals game?
No, not at all.
Twins-Royals?
So that's baseball's problem a little bit. That
right.
People only want to watch their team.
Yeah.
I mean, I won't watch the World Series, like, you know, the first few games of the World Series if my team's not in it, which they never are.
If you don't have a rooting interest in the game, baseball can get very boring. That's I think that's a fair thing to say. Well, and let me ask you, what do you think the ranking is in the city of Houston writ large among sports fans?
It's a football city. I mean, actually, I actually hate the term football city, baseball city, because, you know, you could be all three, but clearly, football dominates in Houston, and you know, in any radio ratings, TV ratings, and in anything. Like, I think Hard Knocks had a larger audience than the Astros Yankees game this past week. A lot of that had to do with just the Astros were winning, I think, 9-0 by the time Hard Knocks was turned on. It was close, but I think that just goes to show you that you know, football dominates here.
So you haven't had any success also because you were post-Rockets winning the titles.
Right. Since then, there's been nothing. I mean, the soccer team's won a lot, and the WNBA franchise, the Comets.
It doesn't even exist anymore.
Is that the Dynamo?
Yeah, the Dynamo.
I'm glad I knew that. It's interesting. You know, I know obviously Texas is a football state and Houston's football town through and through, but and that's true obviously at the high school level and at the collegiate level. But I was interested to hear if it's also at the professional level. You know, I'm from Minnesota, and Minnesota high school hockey is what, you know, Texas football is and what Indiana basketball is, and Minnesota. In college hockey, also, they're obsessed, of course. I think like five of the teams in their conference in Division I are from Minnesota, whereas the whole state only has one Division I school in other sports. But for me personally, the Wild, because, you know, I lost the North Stars when I was 10 years old. And because the Wild came when I was a teenager, I just wasn't invested in them as much. And so they've always been a very distant fourth behind the Vikings and the Twins and the Timberwolves, because those teams I've known, you know, the Timberwolves came when I was six, but, you know, effectively I've known them for almost my whole life. So it's interesting that even though Houston, the Texans, only came into the league about, what, 15 years ago, they're already sort of the number one team in town among most fans.
Yeah, it's interesting, but I guess, you know, the Oilers were really loved here, so.
Yeah, and it's similar, you know, I still rooted for the North Stars when they went to Dallas and when they were in the Cup Finals in 1998, I believe it was, against Buffalo. And then I slowly stopped supporting them. Do people in Houston continue to support the Oilers when they went to Tennessee for a while? Or
no, there's very few Titan fans. If anything, there's a lot of Cowboy fans in Houston, which is probably where, you know, the so-called rivalry between the Cowboys and Texans comes from, just because there's so many Cowboy fans in Houston. But yeah. I think it also helped the fact that, you know, I don't remember the exact year the Oilers left, but the Texans came back in 2002. I don't think it was so much time between two franchises. So that might have helped also.
But for people like, I don't know if you have older siblings or cousins or parents who are fans of the Oilers or maybe even the Cowboys, how did that sort of that switch of loyalty to the Texans, how did that work?
For the most part, I think from the people I know, a lot of them switched back to the Texans. I think there are a few that stayed Cowboys though.
Oh, all right. So let's get back to the schedule. You're 3-2, a tough loss at home against the Colts. Now you go to Florida for 2 weeks, first to face Jacksonville.
Yeah, that should be a pretty easy win, I would assume. I mean, Bortles, I'm a little higher on Bortles than other people maybe, but you got to beat the Jaguars if you're going to contend.
All right, so you're 4-2. Then you go further south to face Miami.
That's a wild card game, actually. I think the Texans have always, I don't know if the my Dolphins have ever beaten the Texans, actually. I think a Dolphins fan told me that recently.
I think they're like 6-0 or something.
Yeah. But Tannehill could be in line for a huge year. They've improved their receivers a lot with, you know, they have Stills there. They drafted Devontae Parker. So on offense, they brought in Jordan Cameron at tight end. They're intriguing. You know, that game could go both ways, but, you know, we could give the Dolphins the win there.
Yeah, you're 7-0 all time against the Dolphins. That would be the first Dolphins win. You've also never lost to the Bears, and there's only two teams you've never beaten, both in the NFC. Do you have any guess who they are?
And it's an NFC team, so it's probably...
Two teams. There's two of them.
The Packers?
You're 1-2 against the Packers.
All right.
It's the Vikings and the Eagles.
Ah, the Eagles. Interesting. That makes sense. And the Vikings, actually, I was thinking, but I just wasn't sure.
I mean, there's probably teams they've only played three times, though.
Yeah, they've only played the Vikings three times, and they're 0-3, and they're 3-0 against the Bears. But now you're 4-3 losing at Miami, and now you come home, last game before the bye, against Marcus Mariota and the Titans.
Yeah, it's a home game we've... Yeah, Titans are, you know, it's also somewhat of a rivalry, obviously. So fans are amped for that one. Players are usually amped for that one. That should be a pretty good win there.
All right, so then after the bye, which you have at the perfect exact midway point, you guys have your only, you know, real prime time. I mean, the Thursday night at CBS games are, I guess those are big games now, but your only, you know, Sunday or Monday night game of the year, and that's Monday night at Cincinnati.
Yeah, after a bye, Andy Dalton, never been a huge fan of Dalton, but... You know, we've also beaten them in the playoffs a bunch, so that's always fun. But I'll give the Bengals the win there.
You know, Dalton on Monday Night Football.
Yeah,
that's not a great track record.
That's true. He doesn't usually play well on prime time. But you know, I don't mind giving them the win there. I mean, prefer not. But you know.
And then you guys, you go home for a couple games. You host the Jets.
Yeah, it should be a win there.
And then you host the Saints.
So that one will be interesting. I'm very curious to see how New Orleans looks this year with no Jimmy Graham. Cooks is supposed to, you know, could break out, but Colson's getting older. That's a game. I'll give him a win there, actually.
I mean, they're similar to you in a sense that they're just insanely reliant on one player. Like,
yeah.
There are teams with good quarterbacks, obviously, like the Patriots and the, you know, the Colts and the Broncos, like, that have lots of other good players. The Saints is just like it. Not that they have no other good players, but they're just so reliant on Breeze.
Yeah.
And then you guys go to Buffalo.
To Buffalo. So they get kind of lucky in that it's early December, but it could be cold. But ironically, the Texans actually, I think, have played pretty well in cold weather.
Brian Hoyer's a cold weather QB. I just made that up.
I mean,
well, he played in Cleveland.
Played in Cleveland.
Yeah.
So, he sucked that guess that last month also. But that's
well, look, was he good in Cleveland? No, he wasn't good.
Right.
Well, they were 6-3 last year. Something.
Yeah, but Buffalo is a pretty terrible team. I think Rex Ryan just announced that EJ Manuel should be starting. So,
did he really? Watt,
yeah.
Wait, I thought he was third string behind.
Yeah,
Castle
we've been on the Tyrod Taylor.
I happen to agree with you also, but I think he announced that he's starting the third preseason game. So we'll see.
But hold on, Yoni, it's Monday today. The third preseason game happened a couple days ago.
Yeah, I just
did you forget
that?
Magic of podcasting. So then you guys at 8-4 host Bill Belichick and the Patriots.
You know, you have to come in and say they're going to lose there. It's kind of interesting because, like, if you go talk to opposing fans, I mean, I'm sure you've done this, and like probably everyone has had the Patriots losing. When they face the Patriots, that they're going to lose to the Patriots. So, like, you know, then I guess the Patriots are going to go 16-0 according to everyone else. But, you know, you ask a Patriots fan, they'll probably be more realistic. But it's a whole game.
On a Friday, we had a team that went 16-0, actually.
Really? That's pretty exciting.
That was the New York Giants.
Oh. Well,
then they're beating the Patriots, according to their fan.
Wow. Well, they have had some success against them, I guess. So,
yes.
So maybe, but you can't come into a Patriots game expecting to win. So I'm going to have them lose there.
And then you guys close out with one more game with each of your division opponents, starting with a game in Indy.
Yeah, no, they're losing that one.
So, but that's 8-6, and that's really where you guys want to be, because if you're 8-6 needing two wins to make the playoffs against Tennessee and Jacksonville, like, that's all you can ask from a playoff team, no?
Yeah, I mean, so like last year they were 9-7 with, you know, four different starting quarterbacks. Their team is better this year, I think. You know, they lost Andre Johnson, but otherwise their defense looks a lot better with a healthy Cushing with Will Fork there. They brought in Raheem Moore at safety. Players also, you kind of assume, or you hope at least, players get better, at least the younger guys.
Well, on every team they get better.
But the issue they have is they're 8-6, but they've been swept by the Colts. So the Colts have probably
They're not
that
winning
division.
Division in this hypothetical.
And so now 10-6. Remember, three teams went 10-6 in the AFC North last year. You still have Kansas City and San Diego, who think they're making the playoffs in the West.
Yeah, but you'll sign for 10-6 right now, right?
I will sign for 10-6 with a playoff spot. I'm not sure, you know.
All you're signing is 10-6. You don't know if they're in the playoffs or not.
Yeah. And also, just remember, this is a 10-6 where we said they lost to Miami, so they would lose a tiebreaker there. Wait, hold on. Do we have wins against Tennessee and Jacksonville in the last 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So we're at 10-6. Yeah, so you lose a tiebreaker to Miami if that's relevant. You lose a tiebreaker to Cincinnati if that's relevant. You know, you win one against Kansas City if that's relevant. So I'm not sure that in the AFC, 10-6 is an automatic playoff spot. Houston thought that they could make the playoffs last year, and I think they're right on the cusp, which is what Yoni says. He sees him at 10-6. As Yoni said, he's not going to sign on to 10-6. He wants to sign on to a playoff spot.
This is a high-class problem. You go to 10-6, and you worry about it then.
Yeah.
Their quarterback is Brian Hoyer. You know, 10-6 is a blessing.
Yeah, and this is a team that's made the playoffs twice ever, so... You know, beggars can't be choosers,
exactly.
I guess, right? All right, so, you know, Yoni, thanks for joining us. Once again, Yoni can be found on Twitter at Yoni Pollack. That's P-O-L-L-A-K. And I think House of Houston, where you are the editor, that's House of Houston on Twitter,
yep,
right?
Pretty simple.
Good luck to the Texans this year. Thanks, Yoni, for joining us. Akiva, tomorrow, I think we're going to go for an NFC Bird doubleheader. We're going to deal with both the Arizona Cardinals and the Philadelphia Eagles.
That's a great selling point. Two birds.
Let me ask you, from a bird perspective, which is the better bird, the cardinal or the eagle?
I don't know anything about any animals, I'll be honest.
Well, I'm not asking for like your ornithological
I have no idea.
Know,
what does
opinion.
That mean, what's better? Like, what would win in a fight? An eagle.
You define better how you want. I mean, eagle's the easy patriotic answer. The cardinal's a nice-looking bird, although it's too identified with St. Louis, in my opinion, which is a garbage town.
Is it hot garbage?
It's hot garbage. You know what? We've had too much hate on Florida. Not that Florida doesn't deserve it, but let's spread the hate around. St. Louis, you're another garbage town.
No, we don't mess with Texas. Houston is cool.
I've never been to the state of Texas.
I went once. I went to I flew in for a Texas Rangers game, and I flew out in the morning.
Yoni, rank Texas cities. Go, top five.
Houston, one.
Incorrect. San Antonio won.
Yeah.
I would assume most people. I've never been to San Antonio.
Yeah. Most people have to say like Austin or Dallas, right? Like Houston gets a lot of hate from folks when they had the Super Bowl.
I don't get it.
All right. You have Houston won. What's next?
Yeah. I'd go Austin too. It's a pretty cool city. I've been there. San Antonio 3, never been there, but you know, I hear a lot of good things. El Paso 4.
Laredo 5.
I think it's Waco. Waco.
I like that you didn't. You grew up in Texas your whole life. You didn't know it was Waco.
It was one of those, you know.
But hold on. But Houston and Dallas are big rivals. You guys hate each other, right?
Yeah.
If we continued to the top 100, would Dallas have been in the top? We've been in the top 100.
No. Oh, I should have mentioned Dillon, Texas. You know, that's a, you know, with Friday Night Lights.
All right. So Yoni, thanks again for joining us. Tomorrow we'll be back with those double birds. Have a good night.